How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network with the reigning Jays, John Corrales, Jay King. And we asked you for Twitter questions, doing a, I guess, weekly Twitter mailbag as we get into the August and September down parts of the season. But nothing down about you. You are asking questions, a barrage of questions. No matter what time of year we ask Jay, barraged with questions.
Yeah, literally nothing is going on, but you guys come with the heat at all times, and I love how we're so prepared for all this. You're like, yeah, I think this is becoming a weekly mailbag, so why not? It seems like we do it once a week or so.
Yeah, it'll be a thing that we do about that.
Yeah, why so, not, right?
Sure. Yeah, people have questions, we have answers. So let's get to your questions here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. We're going to dive right in. We're going to rapid fire this sucker so we can keep this thing. If we answer every question, it'll be like a two-hour show. So let's just go to it. Just another Celtics fan at Banner 18 up next. Who will be the biggest contributor to the team besides Thomas and Horford? So I guess we're picking contributor number three for the season.
Jay Crowder. That's an easy one.
Yeah,
Jay Crowder. That's an easy one.
I was going to say Jay. Yeah, I'm excited to see what kind of step forward he takes.
It's possible. Yeah, it's possible that Marcus Smart surpasses him. It's possible, I guess, that Kelly Olynyk could. I don't see any other real possibilities to jump over Crowder. I would think pretty easily that Crowder has to be in the lead for that one.
Yeah, he just does so much. And if he can get that three-pointer to hit a little more consistently, then, wow, he'll be really good. So we both agree on that.
Yep.
At Max Ubinas, what team next summer will have as good slash better chance to win a championship as the Celtics and space to also sign a max player? So 2017... the Celtics championship pieces. The question basically gets to the heart of situation. Who will be in a better situation or as good a situation to draw that max contract in? That's the question. So I don't know. I really do think the Celtics are in the best position, that they have the best mix of players, draft position, cap space, and it's hard to picture a team, you know, just kind of briefly cruising through things in the East. I don't see many challengers, although let me check Toronto's cap situation. I don't think they're in a great spot either. So there's not a lot of challengers for that best position to add a max free agent.
Yeah, I think they have to be up there. And obviously every free agent looks at it a little differently. There might be some guys who are like, all right, I need better nightlife, or I need warmth, or something like that. The priorities are different. But if you're looking for a good team that has a good coach and a chance to contend for a long time, Boston's sitting right there. Obviously, they had Durant's ear this summer. Didn't quite convince him to come to Boston. But there's a lot of hope that a free agent will want to go to the Celtics in the future.
Yeah, I'm just quickly looking through some of these situations. There's nothing.
The Clippers could be intriguing depending on what they do, right? Because Paul and Griffin will both hit free agency, and they could, I guess they could go after like one of those other guys. I don't know.
But, well, they could, but then they're losing. Celtics they're losing too. Yeah, they're losing, and plus the question was in the East, so that. that kind of eliminates them. Indiana is an intriguing team to watch. So they have a lot of decisions to make next summer. Like, the Celtics do have a lot of things that they have to make decisions on next summer. You guys, you and Chris Forsberg talked about it with Isaiah Thomas, that renegotiate and extend situation. If the Celtics have the cap space, they don't get a max free agent, then they are going to have to start spending money on these guys pretty quickly. So it's not all roses. There's still some uncertainty, but the Indiana Pacers, I mean, they still have Paul George. They will not have a few guys under contract. They have player options and qualifying offers that they have to make, but actually, no, not next summer. But they have team options that they have to exercise, and so they could be interesting, and they'll have a lot of money to spend. So if they are good and teams see them as a possible contender, and they'll have the best player on the board with Paul George, so another superstar would want to play with a superstar of that caliber, they could be an interesting team to watch. So we'll go with that. Okay,
I guess. I'm not sold on their roster at all, but maybe.
Yeah, no, I. But when you get Paul George and a ton of money to spend, and some decent pieces around him, they could be an interesting kind of. Unless they want to trade Paul George, then we can talk. Okay, I keep dropping my Paul George thing.
The Paul George trade rumors, man. Got to bring those back up.
I am dying for it. I fixated on it. I want it. But it's not going to happen. Okay.
Yeah. But now you're talking about them signing like two max free agents, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got to go one way or the other, right, John? You should just think, at least in your head, that they're going to blow up and that Thaddeus Young is going to fall off a cliff. Al Jefferson's going to stink because he's too old and slow for the new NBA. Monte Ellis will just brick mid-range jumpers. There's hope for you, John. There's hope for you.
I'm all in. I love it. All that stuff out in the universe, now it's going to happen. At Steve for three. This is a good one. I like this one. Draft the Celtics for an A-B squad scrimmage. So let's see. So it goes A-B-B-A. So Team A gets to draft first, and then...
So a snake draft.
Yes. So, okay. So we're going to snake draft. So basically, you and I are team captains. We're coaches. And we're drafting for a green-white scrimmage. Okay? Who gets the first pick? How do we decide who gets the first pick?
Does the coaching talent matter? Because obviously I'm like Greg Popovich, and you're probably like...
Brad Stevens,
David Blatt, or somebody. David Blatt.
I see myself as a total Magic Johnson as a coach. I don't know. I don't even know.
A Magic Johnson coach. I like that.
So okay. So who gets the first pick? How do we decide who gets the first pick?
I'll just give you the first pick since we'll have the better coach.
Okay, I'll draft Al Horford first.
Okay, I got IT.
Okay,
and Jay Crowder. See how I did that there? I pretended like it was because I had the better coach. I pretended it was all about bravado, but really, I just wanted those two guys. That's next level.
Okay, so. I was going to put initials down, but we both have the same initials. So I'm going to keep track of this. This is riveting radio. So, okay, so I've got Al, you've got IT, and you've got Jay. So I get the next two. So I'll take Avery Bradley, and I will take Marcus Smart.
Okay. All right. Now things get a little dicey. Like, who do I go with next? Do I want to go with... So I've got I've got Thomas. I need some floor spacing for Thomas. But I've aren't going to be able to score anyway with the backcourt of Bradley and Smart.
Just take James Young. You know you want to.
I'm going to go with Johnson and Olynyk.
I was hoping that you would stay away from Kelly on that one. Okay. I'm going to take. Oh, who's left? So Johnson's gone, Bradley.
This is such good radio.
This is awesome. We were asked the question, we're answering the question.
I want a surprise pick. I want you to come flying in hot with like Gerald Green or someone. Just shake it up.
Yeah, really? You think so? I'm going to take. Boy, I really have limited shooting. Well, everybody in the Celtics has limited shooting.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not my squad. I got Kelly. I got IT. We're going to be ripping jumpers.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to just go with I'm going to go with Jalen Brown.
A little Bental action. Okay, Jalen Brown. All right.
I'm going Jalen Brown, and I'm going small
Don't
ball.
Don't do it, John. There's
I'm going
one
Terry
guy I
Rozier.
Want.
I'm going Rozier.
Oh, you're going real small ball. All right, I got your Repco. That's the guy I wanted. I've got all the shooting over here, John. You got nothing over there. You're not going to score.
I got defense, though.
You're not scoring ever against my team. Although I'm not scoring against your team either. There will just be no points
be
in
no
the
points.
Celtics.
The first basket wins.
So I got Jarebko.
You got Jarebko.
And
one more.
And who else do I want? Should we just end it there? Is that...
Well, that's five. Yeah, that's five on five.
Because
we're gonna get like one sub.
I can't have Jarebko playing three though.
Well,
because we
so
know
you get one sub.
Jarebko
you got one,
at the three doesn't work. All right, so we'll go
one
more.
You get one more pick,
we'll
and I'll get my one
team.
More pick. So you get one more pick, and I'll get one less pick.
Jarebko. Ooh, now it comes down to: do I want Gerald Green or RJ Hunter as my resident wing gunner? Huh. I'm not sure here. This one's tough. Cuz I'm going to go, you know what? I'm going to put some faith in the young guy. I'm going to be mad at myself for giving up the possibility of high flying dunks and the random Gerald Green scoring explosions. But yeah, I'm going to go with Hunter. I'm going to go with the gun on this one.
I am going to go with some rim protection and hopefully get that stretch four or stretch. Well, I guess he'd be a five on my team ability here and make Jordan Mickey my last pick.
Ooh, Mickey over Zeller, huh?
Yeah.
Zeller gets no love from us.
No, he doesn't.
He's
I'm
not
sorry.
Even one of the top 12 picks.
No, he's not.
Sorry, Tyler, man. You deserve
look,
more respect.
I need a shot blocker. I needed a shot blocker. So now we go. So my team, I'm starting Smart at the point with Avery Bradley at the two. Jalen Brown.
Yeah,
you're
done.
No, here's
you're
what
done.
I do.
It's all. I got
start,
the better team.
I start Smart, Bradley, Brown, Horford and Mickey, and I put Rozier off the bench.
Yeah, we're gonna dust you. I like your defense. Your defense is stacked.
I got a strong
is stacked,
defensive team.
I got IT. Yeah, see, I've got IT,
ITJ.
Hunter, Crowder.
So who are you starting at the two?
Olynyk and Johnson in my starting lineup.
Yeah, so you've got Isaiah Thomas as your point. Who's your two?
Hunter.
Jonas?
Hunter starts at the two.
Hunter starts at the two. Oh, well, now.
Hunter and then Hunter. Hunter, Crowder, Olynyk, and Johnson. And then
with Jonas
then
off the
things
bench.
Get funky when I come off the bench.
Dude,
then things
look
get
at,
funky
look
when
at
I come
my
off
defense
the bench
on you, man. Now, let me tell you something. I'm starting to like my ability to score in transition because I've got Bradley and Smart, and you've got Isaiah Thomas and RJ Hunter in the backcourt.
Who's making plays for you in transition? Who's making plays for you in transition? Marcus Smart, Avery Bradley? Come on.
We're going to be ripping you guys left and right. We're going to rip you guys left and right. It's going to be steal, layup. You don't have to make a play. You're just going the other way. There's going to be your guys are going to be 30 feet behind him watching Bradley layup.
Yeah. They're going to really be ripping Isaiah Thomas a lot. Come on, man. Come on. Plus we got the best coach in the business. My team wins.
All right. Let's leave it at that. Tweet us, okay?
Seriously compelling podcasting right there.
Well, it's August. So tweet us. You know me. I'm Reds Army _ John. Jay is at by Jay King. My team, again, is starting Marcus Smart at the one, Bradley at the two, Jaylen Brown at the three, Al Horford at the four, and Mickey at the five. Okay? Jay King, and I've got Terry Rozier coming in off the bench. So if I really want to go small, I could put Rozier in at the two, Smart at the three, Jaylen Brown at the four, and Horford at the five. Ooh, I like that. Okay. Jay King has Isaiah Thomas.
I got Hunter.
Johnson, Kelly Olynyk, Jonas Jerebko, RJ Hunter. So tweet us and tell us how my team is going to win defensively, rocking it.
I don't have much depth on the perimeter, man. My perimeter depth is a little lacking. But you know what? Put my faith in Hunter, and it's going to be all right. We're going to be okay. We're going to have – if he can shoot, we're going to live shoot him. So
I think we're going to lock you down. We're going to go small.
Tweet at me. Everybody support me.
Seriously,
I think I kind of like your team more, actually.
Yeah, I'm telling you. And look, we haven't discussed how much Horford makes everything like. Who's going to guard Horford? Who do you have guarding Horford? Amir Johnson. I like it. Yeah. I like my team. I'm committed. I like my team. Tweet us. Tell us who wins this game. Okay. Meanwhile, we're going to go start answering some more Twitter questions, like actual Twitter questions, and see how people. Okay, let's just move on from all of that. Kevin O'Connor, friend of the show. Where would Terry Rozier be selected in a 2015 redraft? Well, excellent question. We love this question. So let's look
here,
at the list.
Here on the Locked On Celtics podcast, we were redrafting the 2016 draft before it even happened. So we're big redraft guys.
Yeah, we redraft. Let's redraft next year's draft.
Yeah.
That could be an August thing.
August podcasting is tough.
So Terry Rozier went 16. I feel like he'd go a little higher, but how much higher?
A little higher?
A little bit, maybe.
I'm not convinced. Okay. So he might go in front of Frank Kaminsky if he did it again. I don't see many other guys before him that you would do that. Maybe Cameron Payne, but he played some postseason minutes. Maybe Kelly Oubre. And then there are guys behind him. Bobby Portis, you would take in front of him. Maybe Larry Nance Jr. Maybe Rondae Hollis Jefferson. Who else is down there? Josh Richardson had a really good rookie season. Definitely you'd take him. Who else? Is there any other contributors in this draft? Not really. So he might go a little bit lower, but maybe not. Maybe around the same. I don't know. He hasn't done much at the NBA level, but he was really good at Summer League.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, I think maybe I'm a little caught up in everything. I mean, you can look at Towns obviously goes first no matter what. You can move maybe Porzingis up into number two. But I don't know. Maybe not. I mean,
yeah.
Maybe he goes third and Okafor drops a little bit. Cauley-Stein, Moutier.
One year out, it's so tough because.
Yeah.
Because none of these guys are fully formed. And then it's not even close. They're not even close to really beginning their careers. So it's tough to say. Obviously, Rozier had a great summer league. I'm more intrigued now after the summer league than I was before it. And yeah, I'm pretty excited about his future. But yeah, he'd probably go around the same, maybe a little lower. That's about it. I don't have a better answer than that.
So we're going to move on. At @r_Zokier, how well will Al Horford's game age? Will there be a noticeable drop in production towards the end of his contract? Same for Isaiah Thomas. I think Al Horford's game will age pretty well. He's moved further out. He's not going to be taking a lot of the pounding. He's going to be much more of a face-up guy, a shooter. So I think and that just kind of happens to be what NBA teams need from big guys nowadays. So I think he's transitioning very nicely.
Yeah.
Isaiah Thomas. Go ahead.
Sorry for cutting you off. I thought you were done there. But yeah, he has like the perfect old man game and he's not an old man yet. Like he knows angles really well. He's a good shooter. He does a little bit of everything. So yeah, I see him as a guy who's going to age very well and should still really be productive towards the end of his contract.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then Isaiah Thomas, that's an interesting thing because it's hard to say how his game will age. He's such a he just barrels through the lane. He gets hit a lot. He falls hard, and he's obviously a smaller guy. So at some point, he can't play like that. There's going to be a point where he's just, if he loses his quickness, which happens to everybody as you get older, then he loses his ability to get into the lane, and then you could just really play up on him and take away his shot. So I feel like Thomas is more at risk for a precipitous decline in his approaching mid-30s. When you get a guy that's like 33, let's say, I think there's going to be all of a sudden a year where it just doesn't happen. When he can't get by those guys, or he takes one hit too many and he falls the wrong way and heaven forbid something happens to him. But at some point, that pounding that he keeps taking, that becomes a problem. Last year, he fell hard. I forget which game it was. Fell hard the same way he fell hard the year before, and he was out for a while with that bruised tailbone, and I thought it was happening again. And you can expect that to kind of happen again as we move forward. So there is definitely a risk of Isaiah Thomas falling off.
Yeah.
Not now, but later.
Short guards don't age well. What I will say is a little optimistic about that is he takes good care of his body. He's always working hard. He's always improving. And the NBA is a different world than it was before. Like these guys take such good care of themselves that they can play in later into their careers. So it's possible he could age better than most little guards have. But little guards, it's so tough because he has to work so hard to create separation that if he loses just half a step, that kills him. So I'm much more confident that Horford will age well. But again, he's what, 3 years older than IT? So they're at different stages right now in their careers.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's good. This was a good question. @IzzikRen. In my opinion, the KG trade was the biggest trade in Celtics history. What other trades would finish out their Mount Rushmore? So, obviously, Mount Rushmore 4, We need four trades for the biggest trades in Celtics history, the Mount Rushmore of Celtics trades. So,
the Bill Russell trade has to be there.
Oh yeah, the Bill Russell.
they traded the Ice Capades.
Yeah.
what was that exact trade?
It was the
Macaulay Hagen and the Ice Capades for Russell.
Essentially, yeah. Basically the promise not to select Russell in that draft. It wasn't a direct trade. It was trading those guys for the rights to that pick. So that's good. That's definitely one of them. The KG trade obviously is a second one. To acquire KG. The Pierce KG to Brooklyn trade has to be the third one.
Although I will say they've gotten a lot out of it. They got Isaiah, they got Zeller. I mean, ultimately they got those pieces. The draft picks right now, James Young is the only draft pick who's played any minutes from that trade. And obviously they've got more draft picks to come. They've got Jaylen Brown, who has a high potential. But the draft picks so far, and Jaylen Brown could absolutely pan out, but so far the one draft pick who's played in the NBA hasn't really panned out. I will say that. But yeah, it was a monster trade. Absolutely great trade.
That trade also became Isaiah Thomas indirectly. I mean, there's so many tentacles to that it was just so, yeah. That has to be. And then the trade for Robert Parrish and Kevin McHale. I mean, that is, like, to me, second on the list if we're putting them in order.
Yeah.
But the trade that basically was, I forget what that deal was, but it was
Joe Barry Carroll for the picks that became McHale and Parrish, right?
Parrish was already playing for Golden State.
Okay, yeah. So for Parrish and the pick that became
Parrish and the pick. It was Joe Barry Carroll, a pick, and we got the pick and Parrish, and that pick was McHale. So that is like the ultimate fleecing. That is the ultimate fleecing.
Yeah.
You got two parts of your big three in one shot.
That set up three titles. I mean, obviously they had Larry Bird, which was huge, but bam, getting those two guys. I mean, that two absolute no doubt Hall of Famers for Joe Barry Carroll. That's a pretty good trade.
That's a pretty good trade. So there it is, your four deals. The deal that got Bill Russell here, the deal that got KG here, the deal that got Robert Parrish and Kevin McHale here. Holy crap. That was a whole lot of talent that they acquired via trade.
Yeah.
And then the trade that shipped Pierce and Garnett away. I don't see anything else on the Celtics horizon.
The other three trades all set up titles. So now there's a lot of pressure on Danny Ainge to get that next one to finish out our Mount Rushmore with four titles, title altering trades.
That's true. That's true. And that you are right in that this trade is still being done. It's still being written. So you still have two more draft picks that have to be made.
I mean,
from it.
Just imagine if Brown turns into a star. And then the Celtics pick another stud next year in 2017. Mm. And then they still have another first-round pick coming in 2018. Like, it's stupid, the possibilities. Some of it hasn't happened yet. But that could – I mean, it's not completely out of the question for that to become the number one trade in Celtics history, I don't think.
It's not out of the question because...
I mean, it would be tough to top Russell with 11 titles.
No, right. But are so different. You know, I mean, think about it. They traded the damn Ice Capades. That's ridiculous. But the eras are different. And theoretically, this trade could have an impact for the next 10, 11, 12 years. Look at if Jaylen Brown becomes a star and the next year's pick becomes a star and they stay with the Celtics, that is huge. And then you still get the tentacles of the, you got Isaiah Thomas, and then you got all this other stuff. Like, it's just, yeah, it's amazing to me. To me, that trade is amazing.
Yeah, and so I just want to clarify when we talk about the Ice Capades thing. So this in the 1956 draft, the Celtics had the initially had the seventh pick. They traded up to number two, and by trading that seventh pick with Ed McCauley and Cliff Hagan for the number two pick, and right. then their owner Walter Brown, who happened to be the president of the Ice Capades, called up the owner of the team with the number one pick, the Rochester Royals, and said he would send the Ice Capades to them in return for them passing on Russell. Which is crazy. The Ice Capades are the reason that Bill Russell went to the Boston Celtics.
Yeah. Yeah, because they needed to fill the arena, and the Ice Capades would fill the arena. And back then, there was no guarantee that having Bill Russell would do that. No one knew. But the Ice Capades were guaranteed. Fill the place up. Make your money. So, shrewd move. The Ice Capades. So, Celtics fans, when the Ice Capades are in town, do them a favor and pay homage and go.
Yeah, I think the Ice Capades don't exist anymore, but...
They don't?
I don't think so. They must. I don't know. Well, anyway.
I'm Googling it right now.
Anyway, Ice Capades never won 11 titles.
But they won many more hearts. I guess they don't exist anymore.
Yeah, oh, see? Well. See? Ice Capades.
Maybe it's like Disney on Ice. I don't have kids, so I don't know. Whatever.
But
moving on.
You're too busy watching Chopped Up, John.
Chopped. Just Chopped. Just Chopped.
See? That's how little I care about Chopped Up.
At Joey Golick, what will be better? Marcus Smart in his prime years or Diet Pepsi?
I'm not a Diet Pepsi fan, so I'm going to go with Smart on this one.
Me too. Marcus Smart's prime years are still like 3 years away. So a lot of people want to make Marcus Smart into exactly what he is today and just no improvement moving forward. Why can't people understand that young guys have the potential to get a lot better? No, he's not shooting very well right now. We understand that. He shot very poorly. But new situation, not in that same role, different teammates, maturity, better shot selection, just growing overall as a player. Why is it so unfathomable to some people that he will improve? Which he will. I think he will improve. I don't know what he's going to be, but he's going into year three. So, yeah, Marcus Smart's prime year is going to be pretty good. And he's already a top-notch defender. So, like, yeah, let's cool it on Marcus Smart.
It's funny to me because if Smart had entered the league the other way around, which is with his offense the way his defense is now and vice versa, then he'd be looked at as like this foundational superstar, and everyone would overlook the fact that his defense is
right.
miserable. So, yeah, give him time. If he becomes anything on offense, if he can shoot league average from three, if he can become an average offensive point guard, then he is going to be so valuable because he plays so many positions and he's such a good defender. And yeah, so give Marcus Smart some time and lay off the Diet Pepsi, man. That stuff's not good for you.
It's not good for you. It's not good. Unless they're a sponsor, then it's great for you.
Yeah.
See how easily I sold out there?
I like it.
And they're not even a sponsor.
We're just preparing in case they want to be a sponsor. Sometime.
In case they want to be. Yeah. You know, because we're not here to do this for free. Another question about Marcus Smart from Cobe 213. Over under on Smart text this season. I didn't look this up. How many did he have last year? I'll say six.
Not many.
I'll say over under is six.
We'll go with six. Six seems high. I'll go with four.
Okay.
I'm taking the under if it's six.
Okay, take the under. I think it'll be exactly six.
All right.
one more from Chris, Cobe 213. What does Coach Stevens have to improve the most this season? I'm interested in how his rotations will evolve. I am not going to tell Brad Stevens what he needs to work on. I'll be honest with you. Although, I guess if I want to see anything from him, I want to see a couple of techs out of him. I want to see a little more fire. But I don't know if that's an improvement. He preaches not too high, not too low so much that if he goes off and gets a tech, that I don't know if he'll allow himself to do that. Some coaches will go get a tech because they know their team needs something and it'll fire them up. And I don't know if he'll drop a couple of those, but he's had, what, one tech as a head coach or two?
He had the funniest ejection of all time when he got ejected.
In Sacramento, right?
In Sacramento, and then didn't know what to do and kind of waited at the side of the court so that he could congratulate the Sacramento head coach. Who, that was like three coaches ago for them. Who was their head coach at the time? I don't even know who was their head coach at the time because they shuffled through head coaches pretty quickly. It might have been Mike Malone. Probably Mike Malone.
Might have been.
Yeah, so he had no clue what to do. Like the ejection just really shattered him. And but he just wanted to congratulate Mike Malone on the game and say good game. So, yeah, that was the best ejection ever. For me, the thing I want Stevens to improve on, the one thing I thought he should have done last year is move on from the David Lee experiment more quickly. I think he spent too much time investing in David Lee when it was clear that didn't work. Other than that, there's not much to pick apart. It'd be nitpicking if you talked about anything else. And I think that this team, because they have a lot of options for small ball, whether it's Olynyk at the four, Jarebko at the four, Jay Crowder at the four, this team is built to really accentuate what Stevens' teams have done well over the years. I think this is like the first time that the roster has sort of fit his vision. Obviously, they want a talent upgrade, but the Celtics are going to pretty much throughout the whole game put five guys with skill on the court. And Amir Johnson has less skill than the other nine guys I would include in that. But they are going to have a lot of shooting comparatively to last year. And they are going to have speed and skill at every position. So I'm excited to see what he does with this team. I think this team is set up for the way he coaches better than any of the previous Celtics teams that he's coached have been.
Yeah, and he knows that you have to adjust to your personnel, but when you have the personnel to play your preferred style, then that really is a nice combination, and it does seem to be what he has. Part of that personnel, Kelly Olynyk and Gilly Conway says, if Kelly Olynyk has a great year, is he going to get a payday too big for us to keep, and should he be shopped?
It was funny because we got that question, and then we got some other question about how Olynyk should maybe get cut. So people are all over the place about Kelly Olynyk. I think there's a chance he reaches another level this year. You know, like he does some things in certain games where he gets hot and starts pouring in buckets, and all of a sudden he's shooting one-legged floaters that are falling. And man, Kelly Olynyk can look really, really good sometimes offensively. So I think there's another level, and maybe he gets to the point where he reaches the point where he gets a big contract next summer. I don't think they'll extend him, which they could do before I believe late October this year. I don't think they'll do that just because they want to keep as much flexibility as possible, and they want to keep his smaller cap hold on the books rather than commit long-term money right away. So hopefully that kind of answers the question.
Sure. We got another question about Olynyk, and it combines or it goes back to another redraft, the 2013 NBA draft.
We are redrafting everything right now.
Let's do it. Kelly Olynyk in the 2013 NBA draft, where would he have been picked? Well, let's look at the 2013 NBA draft, where Anthony Bennett was the number one overall pick. We know that's not happening.
So Kelly Olynyk, he would have gone number one.
Yes.
Because he's better than Anthony Bennett. That's how this goes, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
That was a bad draft, man. Oh, man, that was a bad draft.
It was not a good draft.
Top seven had Anthony Bennett, Otto Porter, Cody Zeller, Alex Len, Ben McLemore. Yuck.
Oladipo.
Yuck. Trey Burke was in the top 10. Yeah.
So I think the number one overall pick
would be Giannis. Giannis, right?
I was going to say
Ben Adams.
Giannis. Rudy Gobert?
Gobert, Steven Adams, Giannis, those guys would all be ahead of Olynyk. But really, I mean, when you look at this draft, it's a disgusting draft. The fact
it's
that
bad.
The Celtics got a useful player out of this draft was impressive. Very impressive.
Yeah, you go back and really look at it, and man, oh man, that was bad. So, okay, so let's say Antetokounmpo goes first. Gobert goes second.
Adams
would go up there. It's a real big man draft. Does Noel go ahead of Olynyk?
Noel, Cody Zeller's had a pretty good season last year, I think, didn't he?
Yeah.
I like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, too.
Yep. I mean,
CJ McCollum. CJ McCollum.
Do you take Otto Porter?
No.
I'm just
Dennis Schroeder, he's up there too. Olynyk would go, he'd go in the top 10.
Probably.
I don't know where
exactly
he went. 13.
He went 13.
But it's top 10. It was a good pick. Even though they left, it could hurt for years to leave Giannis on the board. But he had only played against like horrible competition. The videos of him when he was in the NBA draft were so comical. Like he was playing guys like me and you, but with nobody in the stands.
Whoa.
Okay, fine. He was playing guys a lot worse than with nobody in the stands.
Yeah, that's, and you know, you look at what his big step forward was this shift to becoming this point guard, which once they did that, it just changed the game. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see what he does moving forward. But yeah, there, him and Gobert, I mean, I would have definitely taken them ahead of Olynyk if we're redrafting this. But I think Olynyk does, I think you're right. He might slide up to as high as probably maybe even like number 8 or so. So when you look back, and this is funny because you look at that draft and at 13, people are going, what are you, nuts? But considering the way this draft turned out, that worked out pretty well.
Yeah, good pick overall, but obviously tough to miss out on the Greek Freak.
Yeah, yep. Now there's only one Greek Freak in Boston. If the Celtics were somehow to acquire Boogie, how do you think he'd pair with Horford? Asks at m.rich. I think he would pair very well because he's an awesome player and he pairs well with everybody. If you throw his attitude out and just focus on him playing on the court, he's a top 5 talent. I mean, there was a point where he was
top 5. Top 5 is a little high.
No, man, he was the fifth leading scorer and the third leading rebounder or something. Like he's
top 5 is high. I mean, LeBron, Steph, KD, Kawhi, Russell Westbrook, that's the top 5. Not in any particular order, but top 5 is stretching it.
I don't know, man. I mean, yeah, maybe, but when he's
great when he wants to.
If he didn't have that attitude problem, all right, if we threw that out and we just focused on what he could do on the court, the talent level that he had, he is an extremely versatile back to the basket guy. He's extended his range out to three. He moves very well for his size, defends, and he does everything. So there's a reason why that he's very highly sought after. Now, all that said, the stuff that we're overlooking for this scenario is very, very important stuff, and it makes me not want him sometimes. But if you're asking how he pairs with guys on the floor, he would pair well with everybody because he can do so many things. He can play in the post. He can play out face up.
And Horford's another really guy good. Like that. Horford can do a little bit of everything, so he pairs well with everybody. Adding an all NBA player to the Celtics would probably be a good basketball thing.
Be a good idea.
Yeah,
We're going to wrap this up, and I'm sorry we're not going to get to every one of your questions, but there's just so many of them. We're trying to pick and choose some of the good ones. At for the win, who do you think is the next superstar of the NBA? So, assuming that Steph Curry. So right now, the NBA's biggest stars are Durant, Curry, LeBron, and we're looking for the next guy.
Carl Towns is too obvious a choice, right?
But
I mean,
we're not looking.
He is the next superstar.
Don't want to overthink this. I mean, video game covers. It's basically him and Anthony Davis,
and RJ Hunter,
of course. Well, I mean, I don't want to put him too ahead of Rozier too soon, but
okay, yeah, good call. You're right. Got to give Rozier that respect.
But I think those are the two guys. It's Anthony Davis and Carl Anthony Towns. And damn it, Carl Anthony Towns is so damn good. You got to just watch Minnesota games just for him. And Minnesota's, they're up and coming. I like where they're going with things. So they're going to be fun to watch just all around. And so, adding Dunn to that mix and Wiggins and
Tom Thibodeau. Tom Thibodeau could be really good for that team.
Yeah. So just watch those guys if you can. If you get League Pass, and I don't know how League Pass is going to work this year, but if you get to pick five teams, make Minnesota one of those teams. If you had to pick five teams in the NBA, League Pass, five teams. Celtics are definitely one. That's in cement. Four other must-watch teams in the NBA. I'm adding my Twitter question right now. Minnesota, Utah. Do you throw Golden State in there? Or
you don't have to because it'll all be on national TV. Yeah,
right. So...
But you wouldn't want to miss those rare times when they're playing like Milwaukee or something and it's not on national TV, you know? Or like if they're playing Utah and it's not on national TV because it's Utah, you got to put the Warriors on there.
You think?
I just overruled myself.
So Warriors, Utah, Minnesota, and then there's no team in the East that you put on League Pass. Like, I don't care. I don't even care to watch the Cavs play. If I'm picking, like, whatever. There's no team in the East. It's all Western teams. And Portland?
They've got a lot of league. Like, they were really fun to watch last year. And they have most of the same guys back.
Or do I just want to put New Orleans on there to watch Anthony Davis play? They're not going to be good. I feel bad for him.
No, I mean they were so bad last year. You can't. Although Buddy Hield has some league pass potential there.
I don't know. I don't want to miss. I guess I'll have to settle for because I have
How could you leave the Thunder off with what Russell Westbrook's going
to
do?
No, that's a good call. I was thinking about them. I'm just trying to think. Yeah, okay, we could do the Thunder. And so many Western teams, you'll get these other guys in there, but we left the Spurs off. And I know Tim Duncan's gone, but they're still a really good team.
as a Celtics fan, the Nets just to watch them crumble every.
All right, so I'm gonna go Minnesota. I mean, I get the full league pass anyway, but Minnesota, Utah, we'll say OKC and Golden State along with Boston. If you were out of town, you had to pick five teams to watch.
That's not the worst list I've ever heard.
It's not the worst list.
The Rockets could score like 170 points a game.
Okay, so let's say you're in town.
Also,
you're in Boston.
I hated watching the Rockets play last year. So they're a risky
team. We pick one more team because you're a Boston Celtics fan. You live in Boston. You get to pick five teams in your league pass to watch. We pick one more. We could pick one more.
The Knicks are a risk. I don't think I'd want to watch the Knicks ever, but Porzingis, he makes you think. And also, what if that mix, weird-ass mix, works out? Then they could be really fun to watch. But there's a small chance it works out. Most likely, there'll be a dumpster fire because they're always a dumpster fire. But if that works out even a little bit, and then you got Porzingis to like raise him up, The Knicks, because of Porzingis mostly, I think they're fun. And I always love watching the rookies.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like the first month of the year. Like teams with rookies like Ben Simmons, I want to watch a lot. And Brandon Ingram, I want to watch a lot. So, yeah, those teams are like super
strong.
Because they'll be so bad that you don't want to watch them after once that novelty wears off.
I'll go with the Pacers because they're just so weird. I'll go with the Pacers because my Paul George obsession, and they're so weird, and I want to see what happens. I want to see what goes on there because they made so many weird decisions, and I kind of want to see how that works out. Orlando is in that same boat. Like, if I could split half the season between Orlando and Indiana just to see, like, the head.
You have a basketball sickness. When you want to see how the Orlando Magic work out.
I know. That's bad. But like I said, I get the full league pass anyway.
And
so.
I threw the Knicks on there, which is... Even Knicks fans don't want to watch the Knicks.
At Jay Bales 96, what's the worst five-man lineup you can create containing regular starters from last year and you can't have two from the same team?
What does this question even mean?
Like, so you're going to take five guys who started regular season games for around the league, and you're going to make the worst team. The worst team.
Man. Just pick all the Sixers, right? Well, you can only pick two. So pick two Sixers and two Lakers and...
So Roy Hibbert is my center.
Come on. You can't put Roy on the worst five team.
Come on.
You're going to put Roy on the worst five team? Disrespectful.
He was bad. Well, hey, talk to him about it. Don't talk to me. I didn't have his season. He did.
Okay, so you're going to leave Andrea Bargnani off the team, but you're going to have him on there?
Yes. Because at least our Bargnani can at least hit a shot.
No, he cannot, John.
I said one. Worst power forward. I regret doing this question.
I'm telling you, just a mishmash of the Sixers, the Nets, and the Lakers. Like, just take any five guys from those three teams.
Fine.
Pick five out of a hat. That's it.
Pick five out. There you go.
And you're good. Your,
with Roy Hibbert.
Poor Roy, man. That's disrespectful to Roy.
Hey, man. Look. He had a pretty terrible season.
But he's not one of the worst five players in the league, man.
Yeah, he is to me. Okay. Okay. We're gonna end on a fun one. This is a goofy, stupid question, and I'm going to combine two of these goofy, stupid questions from Jordan Higgs into one goofy, stupid answer.
Former Celtics Town writer, Jordan Higgs, baby.
Yep. If you had to drink one member of the 16-17 Boston Celtics, who would you drink and what beverage would they be and why? And then he asks, if the 2016-17 Celtics were a pizza, what kind of pizza would they be? So we're going to have pizza and drinks. So if the Celtics were a pizza, I would say the Boston Celtics would be
barbecue chicken, man. Barbecue chicken with some ranch sauce on it, because they're really good, but not quite at that buffalo chicken level of goodness.
Why did I even bring this up? Okay. We should have just wrapped this up. No, okay, that's fine. Yeah. I'm going to say that they're, okay, for pizza, that I'm going to say that they're a pepperoni pizza, because pepperoni is a pretty good pizza. But you could have a lot better pizza. It's a good pizza. It's a solid pizza. You get a nice pepperoni slice, and you're good. But it could be a better pizza, and there's a lot more room for better toppings on that pizza. That's why. Okay. Drink one member of the Celtics. Who thinks
see,
of that?
See this,
even
this,
think of this?
This is an interesting question, because, okay, are you drinking people to get, like, are they gone once you drink a member of the Celtics? So, like if you drink James Young, is he just, like, cut from the team? Is that it?
No. We're trying to embody.
Okay.
This is a beverage. It's almost like if they were to endorse a beverage and you'd say, ah, yes, I'm going to have.
Okay. So Jay Crowder would be like Four Loko or something, like something crazy. like you drink Jay Crowder and like you don't even know where your night's going to go. You know, like you're just amped up all of a sudden. So if you wanted to get nuts, you might go with the Jay Crowder. If you wanted something a little more laid back, like I feel like Kelly Olynyk will just like relax you, you know, like like
I don't think you're drinking what Kelly Olynyk's got. I think you're smoking that more.
Yeah, but we're going with beverage, so like I don't do drugs. is there like a beverage version of marijuana? I don't even know. Can you drink marijuana?
No. Well, I mean, I don't know, maybe. But no. No.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to say it's Isaiah Thomas and it's shots of Fireball. Isaiah Thomas is a shot of Fireball because it's very small, super hot, and it's, you know, kind of, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with the rest of that.
Yeah.
But
it's just a shot of Fireball.
It's just a shot of Fireball. I mean, that is Isaiah Thomas, a shot of Fireball.
Yeah. I think it all depends what you're looking for. Jay Crowder will get you crunk. Like, but I bet Marcus Smart would have you like wanting to fight everyone you see.
All right, Marcus Smart. What would Marcus Smart's drink be? What makes people want to fight? It'd just be like vodka.
Straight vodka. Whiskey? Like,
yeah.
Just get mean?
Al Horford would be like a kale smoothie. He's just so good for you. It's honest. It's like, he's just pure. Al Horford's just like straightforward. There's no, nothing to him. He's like, oh, yeah.
Jarebko's like water. You really need him, but but you never crave him.
Oh boy.
Yeah. See?
We should have wrapped the show up a long time ago.
I like this one.
What we're gonna do right now. Remember to tweet us about our teams, which we talked about a very long time ago. Tell me how much I'm gonna win and Jay's gonna lose. Also remember, please, if you have not subscribed, we are now across all platforms. We just got onto the TuneIn app. So if you use TuneIn for your other, like if you listen to other radio or whatever, we're on the podcast now. Search for Locked On Celtics there. We're there. We're on Google Play. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We're anywhere you get your podcast, we're there. Give us a rating. Give us a review. Give us 5 stars. And, yeah, send us your questions on Twitter throughout the week, throughout the month. Tag them Rainin' Jays. No G. Rainin' Jays. And we might answer them right here next time on the Locked On Celtics podcast, here on the Locked On Podcast Network.